I think it's important to look at how we begin things and end things. So as a church, we're beginning a new year. The liturgical year began with Advent, but the calendar year is still an important beginning, still a season of change. And I think it's important for us to see how we conclude the old and how we usher in the new. So yesterday, for the Gospel, we had the prologue of John. So we had this meditation right at the end of the very first thing, the very nature of God in himself, and then the mystery of how the Lord poured himself forth into creation and allowed us to share in his life. So that's how we conclude. And now we have a whole series of little things that begin this year, even like with the reading from Numbers. We have this formula of the Aaronic blessing, this blessing that is supposed to be the priestly blessing that is given to Israel, and it's a form that we still have. We recognize the Trinity of God. But it goes back even earlier. It goes back from here when the Lord said to Moses, we maintain this. So by seeing how even these sorts of patterns are given to us to help us unfold not only this year, but all the years to come, then I think it's important for us to see, okay, well, why do we begin this year with this solemnity of Mary as God-bearer, Theotokos, Mother of God? There's all sorts of feasts we could have begun. Why is it this one? And in part, it is to add that last emphasis as we conclude the octave of the Nativity, to really hammer home how bizarre the incarnation is. It's a strange thing. There's no reason why we would expect it. There's no thing that we should hope for that would ever make that conceivable. And yet, the fact is there, and it's a fact. And so we spend all of these days unpacking the consequences of that fact. And now here we have that last reiteration of just how strange this is. That the God who, as the psalm reminds us, can bless all of creation with just a glance of his face, at one point had to look up into a human face. The God who spreads wide the heavens could barely stretch out his arms. And it's not just, again, in a sort of cosmic sense, it's not like Zeus hiding with Gaia or something like that. It's not just like this cosmic feminine principle or something like that. It is a human being, a solitary, simple woman, one of us, that the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, looked up at with new eyes. The Ancient of Days beheld the one who gave him birth. That's weird. It's not normal. It's not something we should go around and start telling people this is what we believe and expect them to not think that we are crazy. This is odd. But to re-encounter the strangeness of it, the bizarreness of it, the otherworldliness of the fact of what has happened, hopefully is able to then confront us with new eyes as well. So that we are able, perhaps not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way, to behold the look of wonder in the eyes of God at us. So that we can recapture that same sense. So that we can be born again in spirit. So that we can truly encounter the Lord in a new way. So we begin this year, hopefully so that that can be what leads us into the rest of its days. That hopefully can set the tone for things. And the other part is that we begin celebrating a feast that, just on the surface of it, is nothing to do about us at all. It's not directly connected to like our salvation. It's not a mystery of how this affects us. It is God in himself that Christ became incarnate and was born of the Virgin. It takes all of the focus off of us and places it right back where it should be, on the Lord himself, lensed through the image of Our Lady, yes, but it continues our focus on the one who comes to save, not on the salvation that we've gotten. And that can also help us, particularly in this time where there's all these talks of new resolutions. So it's like, okay, what am I going to do with the year? What am I going to decide? What have I chosen to do? What are the things that I have picked up? What will I make out of these coming days? And instead of seeing what we can forge with our own will, which is, if we're honest, not very much at best, it lets us instead follow the pattern of Our Lady. She didn't wake up one morning with like the dream of being the Mother of God. It's not like she like was a little kid and wanted to be president or something. This is something that just happened. God acted. God chose her. It kept the focus from being centered on her, and precisely because of that allowed the Lord of Glory to be present in a new way. So for us too, we begin this year hopefully with the center of attention not focused inward on what I am willing, but instead we follow her example to allow God's glory, God's grace to be what flows out and to be first and foremost in our minds. Because in that then we can recapture that wonder, the fact that God acts. God does things. The Lord is a God who wills, who moves, who lives and breathes. And in that then, hopefully, it allows us, in recapturing that early sense of wonder, we can then use the grace that the Lord gives in a fruitful way. Mary doesn't just accept and then keep the Lord hidden within herself. She gives birth to a Savior. She is the mother who nourishes and raises the Lord. So what do we do with the gifts, the graces that the Lord has bestowed upon us? Are we just possessing them, holding them, keeping them hidden within the darkness of ourself? Or do we allow them to breathe? Do we allow them to be born into the light of the world around us? Will we allow this coming year to truly be one in which we announce the Savior? We go, as with Mary, to the very throne of God. She goes into the temple and presents the Lord, announces his name. Will we allow ourselves to do that in the world? To go forth and to allow Christ to be known in and through and because of us?